Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is going to be a fascinating one. We are going to learn all about exosomes. We're interviewing the CEO and founder of Kymera. Kymera exosomes are super well established. They're fabulously effective. And I want you to learn everything from the CEO and founder, Duncan Ross. Duncan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so I want to dive right in and I want to tell the audience a little bit about your journey becoming the founder and CEO of an exosome company. Tell me, where did it start and how did it all begin?
Well, it started probably 20 years ago when my father had leukemia. So I had studied immunology in undergraduate, but I got myself back into graduate school and I did a PhD in biochemistry and then one in immunology. So I was in school for quite a long time, learning cellular therapies and then how to manipulate proteins on a protein scale, and then later cells on a cellular scale. At that time, regenerative medicine was kind of starting to take off. People were talking about using umbilical cords for everything from osteoarthritis to autism. And I found that kind of interesting because all I understood umbilical cord cells to be good for was transplantation. And I thought about hematopoietic stem cells more than what they were being used for in regenerative medicine. But it piqued my interest. And so then I started attending conferences and seeing what people were up to. And then when I left school, I started my own little laboratory doing stromal vascular fraction transplantation and bone marrow transplants for these types of diseases with my plastic surgeon partners. Who were very generous to me and gave me their kitchen at their ambulatory center to build 100 square foot lab. I put in a great big hood and an incubator and kind of got to work with them. Now we have a 27,000 square foot lab, and that is all due to the fact that cellular therapies work. But there were some challenges to cellular therapies, specifically that the older we get, the less functional our cells are. So as I started to see that in doing hundreds of different transplants with different aged people, I'd have a 65-year-old whose cells worked like a 20-year-old, and I'd have a 90-year-old whose cells didn't work at all. And that was very disappointing to me that I could not promise them reproducibility in these in what we were doing. So then I started expanding these cells, and I still saw this variability in older and younger cells. And eventually I decided, you know what, if I just take placental cells that are the youngest ethical cell that I could get and use those, I'm going to get all of the good stuff that a young cell secretes. And in doing that, I started to see that, well, what if I don't need the cell? What if I need the secretion of the cell? And at that time, I didn't know what an exosome was, and many people didn't. They were thought of as trash cans of the cell, and they certainly weren't being used in therapeutic clinical uses. So I had to devise a GMP, which means good manufacturing practice, method of creating a clinically applicable exosome. And I did that in 2014. And we've been treating everything from COPD to aesthetics ever since.
Wow, fascinating. So it started with just buying your own hood and getting a little place
Yes, exactly.
and
Well,
envisioning.
I was going to go to Sloan Kettering, but there was a sequestration on the grants at that time. So I had to come up with something. That's what I came up with.
I love it. How did you choose the name Chimera?
Well, I've been thinking about that since before I graduated because Chimera, Dolly the sheep was a chimera. And the first thing I actually did was not create Chimera Labs, the for-profit company. I created a nonprofit called the Chimera Society. And the idea for that was to be able to fund transplants, bone marrow transplants for people that could not afford them. I was very depressed in my journey with my father that, we couldn't get him transplanted at Harvard or at the Fred Hutchinson, mostly because he was a little sicker than they would transplant. But I could have taken him to Medellin, who has a very good transplant program. Would have cost me $100,000, $200,000. But it occurred to me at that time that there are options besides what we have here. And that's what I was trying to do.
Why do you think exosome science and stem cell science in general is so suppressed in the US, and who's the most far ahead right now in the game?
Well, it's a good question. I think that the cellular therapies have been suppressed mostly because the FDA is a little overcautious, and it's hard to create a reproducible cellular therapy. The cells are changing all the time. And so you can't deliver a final product to the FDA. That's one of the reasons I got excited about the exosomes, is that even if the cells are changing, I can create a reproducible exosome and characterize that and get that approved by the FDA. And slowly they're starting to understand that, and it's moving forward. Now, as you're well aware, things have changed, at least for the next 4 years. Some very interesting things happening. I've been at Dr. Oz's house 3 times in the last 2 months. And the last time I was there, RFK Jr. was there and Novak Djokovic was there. I walked through the door, I looked to the right, and there they are. I didn't know they were going to be there. And I grew up playing tennis. So, I mean, he's one of my heroes, Novak. And I was able to give him, I have this new concept of play forever with exosomes. Play some sport. If we're going to regenerate you, you must do something. You must walk. You must work out. We can't just do it for you, So I made these play forever towels with tennis balls on them. And he was the first person in the world that I gave one of these towels to is the number one tennis player in the world. I thought that was kind of funny. But the point is that when I spoke to RFK Jr., I said, I make exosomes. He said, oh, I've done exosomes. I did them in Antigua, And what a different thought process now for our regulatory body, that not only does he, may they embrace them, but he's already, quote unquote, done them. Now, I don't know what he really did. There's a lot of people that promote exosomes that don't actually make exosomes, but it's just a much different thought process. And the other day, I actually emailed one of the investigators who came to my lab the last time. I've had 3 inspections, and
From
I got
the FDA.
from
Those
the
are
FDA.
FDA info, yeah.
The FDA inspections, right? The last one was really good. It was one day, and the lead inspector was, I looked through her history. She's the one who shut down all the other exosome labs. And I emailed her last week. I haven't heard from them since August, but I emailed her last week to see what was going on. And I got an autoresponder from March 12th. I don't think she's there anymore, So all these things you're seeing on TV, I mean, they're actually coming into my real life. So it's just interesting where this is going.
I mean, that's very problematic because if you get a good report, we want to move forward with, progress and more science. So, and if nobody's there to give you validity, then what?
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think that there is the regulatory and the compliance side of the FDA. And the regulatory are all PhDs that actually look at your IND application. I'm hoping that that has not been affected because that's really important for me. The compliance side is kind of, they can be a little bit, they're not really trained in what they're inspecting, and they're coming in and kind of bullying everybody. So she left from the compliance side. So it could be beneficial to all the practitioners. I mean, I've looked at these regulations ad nauseum as to what you have the right to do as a clinician. I mean, you have really crazy things you can do. You can compound pharmaceuticals in your clinic. You have the right to do whatever you see fit in the art of treating patients. And sometimes the FDA really oversteps that boundary. So I think that might have been curtailed by these cuts.
I wanted to go back to sort of like for people who are new to the exosome concept, you mentioned what is an exosome. Can you dive a little deeper into that? Because we're all seeing a lot of advertising thrown at us as to, exosome science. And I want to go over like what's your definition of an exosome and what criteria should people look at when they're choosing an exosome to work with?
Well, when we've known that when we inject cells into your body that something is happening, some positive thing, that stem cell therapy does work. But you can see that cell. So when a doctor is giving you some kind of therapy, the better ones will open a microscope and look at the cells and make sure they have cells in there, right? We realized, and I was one of the first in this country to realize that, is that the cells themselves aren't doing something. It's what they're secreting. And in my mind, as a biochemist, they can't just be secreting proteins and RNA because those will break down in your body too quickly for you to use. So something must have been protecting them. And so when I figured out that there was a fat ball protecting them, I got very excited because now I understood. So now I had to characterize that fat ball and make sure I had the right amount of them and had something inside of them. But the hardware to do that didn't exist. So you were kind of having to do it like we're having to figure out whether there is a planet nine right now. You look at gravitational waves, you look at all kinds of things, but you can't look at the planet. So you can't look at the exosome, or you couldn't. And so what has happened is I've driven a lot of my staff crazy over the years, thinking that we were putting out a product that wasn't reproducible because it was so hard. But I had to explain to them, look, if it's therapeutic, if it's working in the dish and we can see it working and I can see it working on humans, it's working. Now we've gotten to the point where we have nine different methods. We have a microscope that it can actually see the exosome. It's a $450,000 microscope, and there's only 50 of them in the United States. But a lot of the exosomes on the market are using the older technology, which really just shows you a particle. And if you took this water bottle and put it on that machine, you would see a lot of particles of plastic. And so those particles are being sold as exosomes right now, even though there's no exosomes in the product. And we have characterized all these exosome products. So for instance, if you took umbilical cord and you broke that up and you filtered it, you're going to see a lot of particles, but you're not going to have exosomes in there that are therapeutic. And unfortunately, that's what's being sold because it takes me 8 weeks to create a highly hyper-purified exosome. It takes 24 hours to take an umbilical cord, break it up, and sell it as an exosome. And what happens invariably is that labs that do that kind of thing end up contaminating patients with E. coli or whatever it is because they don't have the safety systems in place. And then when the FDA inspector that I just told you about comes, who's not a scientist, and they look at the vial and it says exosome on it, well, now they start putting out public warnings against exosomes because, well, they told us it was an exosome. It's not their job to figure out whether it's an exosome or not. It's their job to warn the public against products labeled as exosomes. And it's been a huge issue for me. And that's why it's taken me till my third inspection to calm them down, as far as I'm concerned.
So you're talking about electron microscopy is what you're using to look at exosome particles.
Well, ours is light-based. It's called D-Storm. So it actually takes thousands of pictures of the cell, of the exosome, and then it compiles those into an image. It gives you the same resolution as electron microscopy, but electron microscopy takes 5, 6 days to do, whereas I can do this in 7 hours. So that's new technology, right?
Yeah, it's a puzzling concept because it's almost like people are throwing things into a blender, pulverizing, and like you said, creating like an exosome broth with umbilical cord or placenta, whatever the tissue is. And then how does the consumer even know, begin to know what they're getting, or how do they quantify? Like we see a lot of aesthetic companies marketing millions upon billions, 30 billion, 100 billion exosomes per vial. What are they really doing out there?
That was, well, those mach the machines I was telling you about, you can set them to whatever you want as far as their precision is concerned. So when I started, and I mean, I was the first exosome, I set the machines very precise because I didn't want any noise. I wanted to make sure I had what I thought I had. As my first, second, third competitor came out, they would just loosen that machine. And start saying, well, we have more than Chimera. They say they have a billion, we have 10 billion. Then the next one would say, we have 100 billion. Then the next one would say 300 billion. And it just went like that. And it was super frustrating for us. So that's why we came up with a formula, a unit, which we now use, which takes into account the RNA, which is really what's doing the regenerative work there, the proteins, which is the secondary regenerative work. And then we use those concentrations to come out with a unit so we provide the same reproducibility. We don't count the particles anymore because we don't want to be in that fight. I mean, we count them, we give them to you, but we're not relying on them for reproducibility because, as I said, they're not reproducible because there's different kinds of particles in there. That's what drove my staff crazy, was trying to put out lots and seeing that the particle numbers were changing when the protein concentration wasn't changing. and saying, which one do we rely on? So we said, we're not going to rely on the particles. We're going to rely on the protein concentration and the RNA. And that's how we've gone forward.
I almost feel like the companies that are the most reputable in their exome science are not advertising the quantity per the billions and millions of exomes. They're more aware of the scientific issues and are just not even advertising those numbers because they're not meaningful.
And one way you can tell whether the safety of the product is that my product was made from a cell line. I made that cell line in 2018. Every time I go to make a new lot, I go back to the freezer and I take out cells from 2018. I have not been replicating them since 2018. And so whatever I make for you today is exactly the same quality as what I made for you in 2018. So if you've been using my product for 6 years and you have a patient who comes in with whatever indication, say it was an aesthetic indication, or you're doing a surgery and you want to make sure you stop that inflammation, it's going to work the same today as it did then. And you also know that we've treated 500,000 patients who have not gotten contaminated. And you further know that we've spent $20 million characterizing that for the FDA. So testing it for every virus known to man. Whereas when you get a tissue exosome, which is a ground up placenta or umbilical cord, they cannot afford to do $20 million worth of testing on that one 300 vial batch. So they rely on the testing of the mother. And then they look at which they're only tested for 12 different things, HIV, CMV, those kind of things. And then they do sterility for bacteria, and then they try to release to you. The problem is, if they've got 300 vials and they test 12, 15 for sterility, they don't know that these are not are sterile. And that's why so many contaminations have come out, and that's why the FDA is trying to close it down. I don't particularly think it's the pharmaceutical companies. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I think it's the number of adverse events, because I get sent these adverse events all the time by practitioners that know people who used another exosome product, and then they have this sepsis from using contaminated product. So I
Other
think.
than bacterial infection from, contamination in the product, what are the other possible side effects or complications you've seen? Have you seen much immune stimulation where,
I have, yeah.
HLA antigens on the surface of the cells of this foreign person are coming into your system?
Right. If you grind up an umbilical cord again, and you're going to get a lot of HLA in there from those cells that you ground up. When you have a hyper isolated exosome, there's no HLA on the surface of that. So that's why it doesn't cause an immune response. And I've heard many times, well, I did somebody else's exosomes and I felt something. And when I did yours, I didn't feel anything. Well, that's the point. You were not supposed to feel anything. If you did feel something, you were having some kind of immune response. What I'm looking for you to feel something is 3 to 4 to 8 weeks later, after you start having a regenerative effect. Now, it depends what we're talking about. If you're talking about chronic fatigue, that could be immediate. But if you're talking about regenerating a spine, that's going to take a period of time. If you're talking about microneedling or laser, within 3 days, that 3 to 4 days, that topical laser will have healed, as opposed to 7 to 10 days. So yeah, that's what we're looking for. But if you had caused inflammation, the reason you're healing in that 3 to 5 days is because I stopped the inflammation. I stopped it in your body. If you had that HLA, you're going to cause even more inflammation, and that recovery time is going to be even longer.
Yes. Now the pluripotent, are you using pluripotent stem cells or what level of
There are
cellular
multipotent.
multipotent? So placent. These are the ones in your lab are derived from what source and what origin?
Mesenchymal stem cells from a C-section placenta that we isolated cells from and created the cell line back in 2018.
Okay, so they are multipotent. So they're
Multiple.
not at that pluripotent state. So they have some MHC or HLA antigens on them. But
The cells do, but the exosomes don't. And so I'm not using the cells.
just
I'm
the exosomes. Yeah.
right.
And is that because of the size of the exomes? Or I thought everything has HLA antigens unless it's developed by those HLA-G type of molecules.
It's because of the size. So if you took 1,000 exosomes, one of them might have one HLA marker on it, but the remaining don't. In staining ours, we have not been able to find HLA on the surface. And staining them and looking at them with that microscope I just told you about, that's the beauty of it. With an electron microscope, I could not stain individual things. I could look at things. But with this microscope that we have, I can specifically stain for HLA and the other markers of an exosome, CD63, 9, and 81, and see if I see any HLA. And we don't see any HLA.
Interesting. So a consumer looking at exome should look for the source, the origin, the purity. What other factors do you think are really important?
I think everything is anti-inflammatory. So as long as you have the safety profile down, if it's made from a cell line and that cell line has been tested and many people have been treated by that cell line, then you're safe. There the argument out there by the tissue providers is, oh, well, we know how Chimera does it, but we prefer fresh. And that makes sense in everybody's mind, right? You prefer fresh orange juice to pasteurize. But why did we create pasteurized orange juice to begin with? It's because to get it out to the market, we needed to make it safe. We had to pasteurize it. So fresh might taste better in an orange, but it is much more dangerous than a cell line derived. And I have trouble getting that argument out there. If remember, I used to make amniotic fluid. I know how easy it is to make fresh. It costs me much less. I would not need 50 employees to make a fresh product. But I do this so that I never have an adverse event, so that my company never gets shut down, honestly. So that's why we do it that way.
Are your exosomes lyophilized? And what do you think about the whole lyophilized controversy?
I
And
know that.
for the consumer listening, that means, dehydrated down into a
Freeze dry
powder,
and what?
freeze dry that gets reconstituted later.
Well, I think about it like astronaut ice cream. If you tasted astronaut ice cream, it doesn't taste the same as ice cream. But they're both nourishing, right? So I have lyophilized our exosomes. I do have them in the lab. I sell them outside of this country. I don't sell them in this country because the frozen is so much more potent. And I had it made. The first thing I made was a cream in 2010. Why was that not the first thing that I put out to the public? Because I knew that the frozen exosomes were much more effective, and I didn't want to ruin the brand of Chimera with the cream. I wanted it to go directly into your hands, Dr. K, and then you know how to use it. And so you would microneedle, you would laser, then you would use my exosomes, and then you would see the potency. So I wanted to build the brand of exosomes, and I made one mistake when I started, is that I talked about exosomes and now everybody can claim to have an exosome. I should have just talked about chimera zomes. But I wanted the potency of this new evolution of science to be recognized. So that's why I sell them only as frozen in the United States. If I want to sell them to the consumer, maybe I'll sell them freeze-dried. But to the clinic, it has to be frozen.
Okay. And then there was a recent published paper that talked about lyophilization of exomes and how looking at many of the brands out there that there just really aren't active live exosomes present in the powdered formulations. What did you think of that paper?
I think that there probably weren't exosomes in the starting product, because I have tested our lyophilized exosomes, and we have different kinds of testing that we do in vitro. We don't just test the concentrations of things. We have dermal fibroblasts growing that we create a wound, a scratch test in. We have anti-inflammatory tests that we do, and that's that we have seen that the lyophilized will close the wound. It will not close it as rapidly as the frozen. And the phenotype, what the cell looks like, is not as pretty. It's not as stem cell-like as the frozen. So, what you would intellectually think, I mean, I know that when you freeze dry something, you have to take the water out. You have to put the sugar back in to represent that water. The protein does not fold the same way. So the proteins are not going to be as effective. I knew that before I did these tests. Then I did the tests and they came out the way I just told you. So good for a consumer, not so good for a clinician.
How do you kind of see exosomes evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? And this leads right into some very exciting news that you might want to tell us about.
Oh yeah, yes. I love that segue. Well, we have an exosome right now that we have not gotten to the limit of. We keep learning new things about it every day. It's working very well. That's not to mean that we can't create modified exosomes in the future. And I have created some. Think of your favorite stem cell protein. You can meld that together with the exosome, and then the exosome can get to where you want and do that work. So you can improve on what we're doing. But one thing I never could figure out, and this is the benefit of having been in this business for so long, is my collaborators. One thing I could not figure out is how am I going to rejuvenate the entire body? I know for sure I can't get enough exosomes into every cell of your body. It's just not going to happen, right? Then I met a group in LA, a group of neurologists who had been working with targeted focused ultrasound. And this is the same ultrasound used in heart transplantation to monitor for embolisms. And if you put that ultrasound on tissue for long enough, well, it is hitting the tissue because a wave is coming back to you that you're reading. It is affecting that tissue, it turns out. This was not known before, but it's known now. And so now a lot of neurological disease is being treated with by just modulating the tissue there, maybe opening the blood-brain barrier. So this brilliant scientist, physician, Dr. Sheldon Jordan, came up with this thought. Well, if we focus ultrasound and give exosomes intravenously, will more go to where we focus the ultrasound? So Chimera funded a rat study at the City of Hope, and we showed that indeed we knew that exosomes were already crossing the blood-brain barrier. When I tell you we have exosomes in our vial, I can find them in the rat brain. But where we focus the ultrasound, we found 10 to 100 times more exosomes. So now you've created this method of targeting, which is really going to improve these outcomes for neurological disease. But then he went one step further. Well, there has been literature coming out since 2017 showing that if you rejuvenate the neural stem cells in the hypothalamus, the rat lives 5, 6 times longer. Because the hypothalamus then tells the pituitary gland to start secreting all the same growth hormones you did when you were a child. And that's how you regenerate yourself. Not with my exosomes per se, but with my exosomes rejuvenating the organism, which is a complete game changer, you know? And so we have filed patents on that, and we also submitted that as our application to the Longevity X Prize. And if you're viewers don't know what the X Prize is. SpaceX and Virgin Galactic and all these companies began at the X Prize 20 years ago that Pierre Diamandis funded for the first private company to get to space. And since that time, he's done many X Prizes, carbon capture X Prizes, water in places like Africa doesn't have a lot of water. And now they made a longevity X Prize. If I can demonstrate that I rewound your aging by 10 years, there's a $61 million purse, 20 years, $71 million, and 3 years, $81 million. Now, we just found out, and this is the first place where this will be publicly mentioned, that we have been accepted as semifinalists out of 550 competitors in the world to compete for this prize.
Woohoo! This is
And this
amazing.
is
This is
really
amazing.
a big deal, and we're all very excited about it. And I'm excited because, you know, to prove these things, I mean, it takes funding. And now I'm going to be able to bring together the groups that I can do all this testing because I have to demonstrate that I can rewind your physical power by 10, 20, 30 years, your mental capacity by 10, 20, 30 years, and your immunological capacity by 10, 20, 30 years.
Wow.
That's a lot of work, and it has to be done over 80 to 100 patients, you know.
And
So
some to do your beauty also.
and beauty, right? So now we're talking about and a lot of people in aesthetics, they say, oh, it's anti-aging because I'm making you look younger. Well, now we get to do both. We get to make you look younger from the outside and the inside, and I think extend our lifespan till 300 years. So
You guys were chosen as finalists.
as semifinalists. So
Semifinalists. Okay.
now we have some work to do. Then we have a
Incredible.
$7 million purse, and then we have more work to do for the 61s. But
Wow. Was your mind blown when you got that? Did you get
my
an email
mind's
or a
been
phone
blown.
call?
My mind's been blown since I had this done to myself, because I've been giving myself my exosomes for 10 years. You can argue, I can show you a picture of myself 10 years ago that I look more or less the same. But my age may have slowed, but it was not rewinding. Now, after I did this, which I did in July of last year, I got my tennis timing back. I can play tennis like a professional tennis player, like I did when I was a kid. I had lost that timing and ability about 20 years ago.
Wait, you did the micro focus ultrasound treatment
That's
with
right.
some infusions?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay, so you're the end of zero right there.
And I'm an N of
First human.
zero. Well, we've been doing this in Costa Rica, so we do have a little bit larger N.
Okay.
But now everybody is reporting this type of thing. I can jump over things when I didn't want to jump. I'm turning 50 this year. I can jump up and down off my boat without slipping, which I'd done a couple times last year. I can see it. And so my mind was blown with that. My mind is now blown that it's being recognized. And it's blown that I'm going to be able to bring this to the public in the coming years. Because we have FDA approval for intravenous administration of our exosomes. I have to file another IND for this use. But if I hadn't already had this approval, it would take me another 6 to 7 years to get it, So putting ourselves, you only get one shot, putting ourselves in the right place and time is really starting to benefit, pay off.
Your FDA approval for exosomes, that's for like extremely sick patients in the ICU and like
That was for post-COVID
post-COVID treatment.
intravenous administration. I just uploaded some final data that they wanted last Sunday, and now we're putting in all these different applications. One is for aging skin, which applies to you. That's topical microneedling. The second one is for post-laser treatment, and the third one is for this longevity, as well as keloids and some others.
Amazing. Wow. So there's more research ahead for you to.
Lot of work to do.
Yeah. So you envision in the next 5 years being able to get exosome therapy with microfocus kind of ultrasound directed at an organ of, injury or damage where you're aging or having a neurologic, neurodegenerative disorder?
Stroke or TBI. I mean, that's really what I get more excited about.
The brain.
The brain, because I've seen many stroke patients benefit. We have also looked at renal failure, all kinds of other things. But if you're not cognizant, that's not much of a life. You can get a kidney transplant. Although not easy,
Yeah.
it's a lot different than a stroke.
How is that administered? Is it like a helmet that,
It's a helmet.
directs ultrasound waves towards the hypothalamus and
Yeah, so we're all going to have our own helmets. You have to go get an MRI.
yeah.
And then you have a 3D printed helmet,
Wow.
and then the transducer is put into the helmet and specifically knows where to target. And interestingly, I was just talking about this with Dr. George 2 days ago. You could put multiple targets on there when you make that helmet. So we could put one up here for depression, the frontal cortex. If you'd had a stroke, we could put one targeting where that stroke was. We could have one point in the hypothalamus, and then you keep that helmet in your garage, and once a year, whatever, when you go to get your therapy, you take your helmet with you.
Very
And
cool.
yeah,
And for
yeah.
Parkinson's patients too, I imagine that you could direct therapy to that area of
Very much so. I
the
mean,
Niagara. That is fascinating. Wow. And then in the infusion of exosomes you'd get simultaneously would be your own harvest exosomes, or these are chimera derived.
it would be the chimera derived,
Yeah.
right?
And
We have tested your own harvest exosomes, and it doesn't work as well. So that goes to show you, and there's literature out there that I can show you that a 40-year-old mesenchymal stem cell secretes about 100 growth factors. A day zero mesenchymal stem cell secretes 300 to 400.
yeah.
So, that's why we're dying. We're not secreting all the growth factors we did when we were young.
Right. Wow. Okay. And That, I mean, does that lead us down a path where someday in the future, like for me and my own kids, I harvested their umbilical cord blood, every kid when they were born, and like, should we just be doing this for everybody?
We should be doing harvesting their umbilical cord, or
Yeah, like
people.
getting very young cells, their amniocentesis fluid, their umbilical cord blood, or you know.
Well, the issue is, and yes, I do think you should do that. I think you should do it for a number of reasons. First of all, the child has autism. Duke has shown that using the child's cord blood does improve their symptoms. So that's a nice autologous way to use it. Umbilical cord blood does not have a lot of stem cells in it. In fact, some will argue that there's no mesenchymal stem cells. There are definitely hematopoietic stem cells, but if I wanted to transplant you, I would need three umbilical cords. And so you're going to have to use two from somebody else anyway. Now, if you could tip the tissue, you could expand cells out of that, and then you could give your children their own young exosomes or their own young cells later. That's a possibility. That's also going to cost you a large amount of money. What I am doing is providing an off-the-shelf. Yes, it's not your child's own, but it has all the same stuff in it, and it's been tested and safe and reproducible. So,
Amazing. So, are you? You must be super excited about the X Prize. I can't even imagine. Like, this is going to put you in a zone of funding, hopefully, and meeting the best scientists in the world, just as your peers. When do you get to present all your data for that?
So the event is May 12th in New York. I'm beyond excited. I've funded this lab myself since the beginning. I have no investors, and it's hard to get past the stages that we're talking about now,
Yeah.
just based on a market that is now flooded with these other quote unquote exosome products. When I was the only exosome in the world, I could buy $450,000 microscopes, no problem. And I did. But now I have to compete against cheaper to make and cheaper to purchase products. And so this is coming right at a time that is really going to take this forward. So.
Well, I think you have a really unique way of explaining the science. It's obvious that you're like truly so scientifically passionate, and you've done every experiment yourself with your own hands, and that really shows when you're talking, and the understanding of the science is what we need to convey to the public and also just to the aesthetic providers out there that are, by not asking the right questions, they're driving the industry in the wrong direction. So I really
Yeah,
want
I
to
just
emphasize that.
saw someone today say that today was National Exosome Day. It
Ugh.
wasn't my company. It's like, they gave me the right to do that. But I get more excited in surgery and plastic surgery that the pre-treatment of the patient with IV exosomes would make their recovery much more rapid.
We done any studies to support that, or have you seen that in practice?
I may have done it to myself, but and I've we
To do
have
an interview after the interview.
we've done it with other people, but that's another IND that I want to do, and that might not just apply to aesthetic surgery, although it does, but even think gallbladder surgery. One of the main adverse events is scarring after that, and
Yeah.
so if we could stop that scarring, we can make all of our surgeries much safer.
Yeah, or for heart attack patients to not stenose their stents and like,
Exactly.
cause all kind of healing issues. But yeah, I can envision scarless surgery coming for sure.
Coming for sure. Yeah.
Sure. That's in our lifetimes, I believe. The advent of scarless facelift, or like, I mean, eventually, the idea that maybe we support the ligaments of the face and the fibroblast turnover and the collagen production so that we don't get skin laxity and all these issues, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah. Are you a fan of microneedling exosomes, injecting them subcutaneously, intradermally, or IV, or some combination of all the above?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. The aging skin that we're putting into the FDA right now is topical after microneedling. So I do like that, and we have the data. Dr. Chernoff has published this data if you want to read it. I think in burns like post laser, we want to do that topically and intravenously, because What I've seen is, and this really blew me away when I started a long time ago, was J plasma, right? And how invasive is that, right? What would you say the downtime is for J plasma?
Yeah, 7 to 10 days easily.
Easily, right? Well, we took a patient, they did J plasma. We applied exosomes topically from, well, he injected them pre subQ, then we applied them topically, and topically every day for 3 to 4 days after. No inflammation ensued. And so he was writing to me and sending me pictures saying, I've never seen this before, because he had sent me pictures of other patients where they were, I'd never
Yeah, like
seen.
weepy, weepy,
Yeah,
weepy.
right. And he was so excited. And then they ran out of exosomes on day four. All the inflammation came back as if we hadn't touched it. So that's what told me that inflammation, once you cause it, it's not where you see it. It's in the lymph nodes, it's in the spleen. And so if we're really going to stop that, we're going to have to try another method of delivery. And so that's why we want to try to test this for burn patients, is this intravenous administration as soon as they come in, or pre in a patient that you would have in your office, and then topically thereafter, and see if we can really mitigate that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the key to, do you need a little inflammation to heal, or do you feel like you can suppress it fully and heal better?
I think with laser, you're pretty much getting as much inflammation as you need. With microneedling, you do need some inflammation to heal. And so you're right, the timing of that is pretty key. We need to microneedle. Actually, the way we have a kit that I sell, and what I tell people to do first is in the microneedling device, put hydrogen peroxide. Use that first. Now you're going to get even more inflammation, so more cells are going to come. Wait 20, 30 minutes. Now come back and re-roll with the exosomes to try
So
to
you
do
bring the right be cells into the area for healing, and then you turn off their angry features but leave their healing features.
right. And you just got to the key there, why I didn't release the cream earlier, because when I used the cream on myself, it worked, and 3 days later I thought, who is this, you know, who's the soft person? But when I used it on my mother, it didn't work. And when I used it on a friend's mother, it didn't work. And that made me realize, you know, without your intervention in the clinic, I'm going to ruin the brand exosomes. The intervention must happen.
That's very true. What advice would you give to practitioners who want to start bringing exosomes into their practice?
I think that just working with microneedling and topical application afterwards, you're going to start to see it. You have to keep in mind that even microneedling without exosomes, you're going to see a benefit, right? So I think that's why a lot of these exosome products have sort of gotten away with it, was because, oh, look at what a great outcome we got. Well, that was, you did that, you know,
The
that
needle
vial
did
of
that.
exosome, right? The needle did that. But you do get a greater outcome when you use better exosomes. And I've tried all kinds of exosomes. I've made cucumber exosomes for Europe, you know. I have tested them in vitro, and they are 20% anti-inflammatory in our assay, but our human ones are 80-90% anti-inflammatory. So, but if that's all Europe's going to allow, then that's what Europe is going to get. So, yeah, that's what you think about it.
The science has been slow to evolve in the European side, and like, what are we going to do in the research and developments at Chimera to help push along, permissions from the FDA and the ability for us to use the products more aggressively? Because I think we want that.
Well, this XPRIZE is going to give me the money to do that, even though it was for longevity. That brings the investors in that I can now use part of that money on the aesthetics, and I'm going to move as quickly as I can. So give me a year, a year and a half, and we'll do that.
That's it. Okay, I'm so excited to be the first to congratulate you on this amazing news for being an XPRIZE semifinalist. I've heard about the XPRIZE, and I've really been excited to see what it can do in the space for aesthetics and for plastic surgery, for surgery in general, for longevity. This is huge for you guys.
It really is. And actually, there's future XPRIZEs coming that I'll tell you about it someday, but I can't wait to compete in those. But they're related to women's health. So It's just fun to be part of that organization now. I have a little pin, says XPRIZE on the
Oh my gosh,
one
how
I'm
cool.
not
How
wearing it,
cool is that? Well, good luck with your presentation coming up in New York for the Future X Prize. And where can people find you if they want to get more information about Chimera or about Duncan Ross himself?
Well, they can just go to exosomes.com.
Oh, that's a great
It's
website. That's great that you got that one.
Well, when you first, you can get it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exosomes.com to learn more about Chimera. Well, this has been fascinating. I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. And I definitely want to come down to Chimera headquarters and visit with you. And I love
Awesome.
Grant Chernoff. He does amazing work. He and I have talked so often about your products. So I'm really glad to finally get the chance to bring you on the podcast.
And I appreciate that you said that. And that's one last thing to say to your providers is if you have not visited their lab, how do you know they have one? A lot of these companies are marketers. And it's absolutely vital you do that. And that's why we invite people to come visit us. I mean, I put that image that you're seeing behind me, you can see that from a window in our lab so that you know where it's coming from. So I invite you to please, please come.
It's a pleasure to talk to someone who's a scientist and an entrepreneur, but I love that you have a vision. I love that you're using these products and you feel like you're 30 again. I can't wait to learn. Can't wait to try that for myself.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you're looking for to have a strong menses back, but that's another indication. We have been bringing we've I've created 10 children by making the partners fertile.
Wow.
I have actresses who have not had menses for 4 months that I now have having one every month.
Wow.
And just the opportunities are endless with young exosomes, right?
Yeah. Well, ovulation is one of the biggest signs of staying young. And, as that turns off, women age exponentially. So, yes, I think definitely there's a room for, turning on, longevity in our ovaries, which will improve women's health tremendously. Yeah. Thank you so much, Duncan, for all of this amazing content. And I congratulate you for the XPRIZE semifinalists. I'm excited to see what you're going to do in the exome world in the next 5 years.
Thank you. Hope to see you again soon.
Stay tuned, guys. That's it for now. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. Someday to have an exosome product, but not until Duncan proves it. And I hope to see you in the office for microneedling topical exosome treatments and someday in the future IV treatments, which will be widespread. I really think that that's the future of what we're going to be doing in our industry. I hope you guys live long and prosper. Think about your longevity every single day, what things we can do now to form future you. So important that you start thinking outside of the box. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.